Hello, welcome to Red Door Church's podcast. We exist to impact and influence lives. Red Door is a three-year-old church plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Red Door is a young and growing church with a passion to connect to God, people, and culture. If you don't live anywhere near Sioux Falls, we would love to invite you to join one of our three online church services. We gather on Thursdays at 7:05 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 5:05 p.m., all in Central Standard Time. For more information about Red Door, please visit our website at reddoorchurch.net, or you can download our free app on Google Play or iTunes. Thank you so much for listening today. Now let's join Pastor Zach for this week's message.
Well, we kicked off a series just a few weeks ago called X, and we started off with this idea of focusing the summer on the Ten Commandments. And I think every one of us tuning in here have some frame of reference about the Ten Commandments, okay? We've seen them at courthouses, we've seen them maybe displayed on billboards as you travel, and maybe even you've read them before, or maybe someone's actually told you about them. And for some of us, we might actually hear them, and there's something inside of us that causes us to kind of feel the shame and guilt, like, man, I'm not good enough. I can't follow those. Maybe you're on the flip side, and man, you feel like you've done them all, and you've checked them all off, and you've accomplished every command. Well, I want us to kind of look at why God gave us the Ten Commandments. Look at what they are. Are they relevant for today? Are they for you and us? Should we understand what they are? A recent survey said that 80% of people knew the ingredients to a Big Mac hamburger more than the Ten Commandments. Obviously, it's a reflection of our love for Big Macs, but more than that, it's a reflection of our society. Today, we look at the Bible, and many of us maybe we think, you know what, it's a book, it's a list of rules I'm not really interested in, or maybe you look at the book in the Bible and you think, you know what, it just makes me feel guilty, it makes me feel shamed. Well, the Bible we see has so much more than that. The Bible actually encourages us, it challenges us, it's living and breathing, and it's God's word to you and I, and so we need to look at it and study it and understand what is the word of God and what are the Ten Commandments that God gave us and how do we handle them today? How do we apply them to our lives today? And so we're going to study this over the next few weeks and look at this idea, but we looked at week one as we kind of began an introduction into the Ten Commandments. We looked at how understanding this key principle for the whole summer, we have to understand this, that God didn't give the law to be a remedy for our sins. God didn't say, here's the law, follow these rules and you'll be good. No, he gave the law to reveal our brokenness and to lead us to Christ. You see, I think some of us probably look at the law and we think it's just there for a list of rules that we have to follow. And there are given in a sense of laws and commands that God gave us, but he didn't give them for us to remedy our sin, but to reveal our brokenness and our need for him and to point us to Christ. And so I want you to understand that this next few weeks are going to be a lot of fun. And I want to encourage you to join us over the summer as we study these Ten Commandments and we look at them and we apply them to our life and we look at how we actually should take them, because these laws, these rules are important for us today. I think many times we forget that if we didn't have rules, if we didn't have laws, we would really be lost without them. My oldest daughter went with a friend to a water park here recently, a couple weeks ago, and she was going with her family, and they were going to enjoy the water park. And so we said, hey, we're going to give you some money for you to buy some food and some drinks, some snacks while you're there. And we gave her a $10 bill, and we said, here, take this. Be sure to buy some things that are good for you. Don't just go buy junk. And what do you think, you know, she does? She's given this freedom. And you can probably imagine as a kid, all of us at that place, it's like, man, I can buy anything I want, whatever I want. I have a crisp $10 bill. Like, it's like almost like $1 million to you. And she went out and she bought ice cream. She bought pop, cotton candy, candy, licorice, all this food. And she came home and she was so excited that she had this ability. And we're like, well, did you buy some water? Did you buy anything good to eat? And she says, well, I bought a pretzel with cheese. And it's a complete, absolutely great picture of our lives. that we need laws, we need rules, not to restrict us and to control us, but rules that help us live a life that's worthy, that's actually on purpose, that's going to protect us and keep us. You see, laws and rules are not meant to restrict you per se, but they're really meant to protect you. And as kids, we don't always understand that. As we grow older, we recognize the need for seat belts and speed limits and all these things that we do. And so we have to learn to apply that we need rules. The law that God gave us actually helps us to follow Him better and to live a life worthy of His calling. The law actually helps us, actually brings freedom and brings life to us. So each week I want to do this. Each week as we study one of these commandments, we're going to answer three questions, okay? Three questions. Here they are. We're going to answer, what is the command that God is asking? Okay, we're going to read it and we're going, what is God asking in this command? What is He saying? Second question is this. How do we apply this command today? How do we take this command? Because God was speaking to the Israelite people. He was addressing issues at that time, but His word is eternal. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so how do we take that and apply it today to our lives? And the third question is this, is how do we obey this command? So what do I need to do to obey this command? And so we're going to answer these three questions every single week as we study the Ten Commandments. If you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. We're going to read this first commandment that God gives His people. And if you have a Bible, turn there. If not, you can follow along on the tab below, or you can just listen and follow along on the screen here. It says this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. It says that God spoke all these words, these commands. He's given this to His people. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Remember this from last week that we talked about, that these guys had been, Israelites had been in slavery and captivity for 400 years, and God heard the cries of His people, and so He sent Moses to rescue His people. And now they've been traveling in the desert and wandering, heading to the promised land that God had given them. And He says, remember that I am the Lord God that brought you out of slavery, that gave you new life. He says this in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. That's our first command, first commandments. I want to focus on two things today, okay? As we look at this commandment, that you shall have no other gods before me. I want you to do this. If you have a Bible or if you have a note, I want you to circle two things. There's two parts to this command that we need to understand, that we need to actually break down. The first one is this. We see that He says here, you shall have no other gods. I want you to circle no other gods. And then I want you to circle the second part, before me. Okay, so let's focus on these two things. A recent church poll, I love polls as you obviously can tell, but this recent poll said that the church people within the church, Christians alike, said that 75% of Christians believed that they ace the first commandment. That the first commandment, they do a great job at keeping, that they don't break it, that they don't have a problem with it. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, they do great. Well, I think, and I believe this, I think it's the number one that we all struggle with. I think it's the one commandment that we break all the time. And it's because we don't understand these two parts to this passage, to have no other gods and before me. And I want you to look at this. The first one here, no other gods, okay? This command assumes that you and I, that we already worship a God. It assumes in the text that we are already worshiping a God. It doesn't say that you must worship a God and so you should pick one that you should worship. It doesn't say that it's important to choose a God to worship. It simply commands us, and it simply says that you and I were created to worship. But our worship is reserved for God alone. Let me say that again. This passage is assuming and saying that we worship a God, and it says that you and I, that we were created to worship. Okay? We were created to worship. But our worship is reserved for God alone. Let me explain this. I think the word worship today in our Christian culture has become a bit overused and watered down, and we kind of lose some of the bite of worship. You see, simply put, the idea of worship is that Worship is whatever you value supremely, okay? Whatever you prefer over things. I've had conversations with people, and we've debated this in our life group before, about name brand versus off brand. And some people think, you know, there's no difference. And I would say there are a difference, okay? There is a big difference between name brand mac and cheese, okay, and off brand mac and cheese, right? Yeah, I know you agree with me. The second thing is this, is that there's a huge difference between Mountain Lightning off-brand pop and Mountain Dew. You can pretend all you want, but there is a difference. And you and I, we prefer certain things over others. That we value certain things, so we put our attention and we gravitate to those things because we value them supremely about other things. This same text is telling us that our worship is something that we value supremely. And it's saying that we are to worship God above everything else. J.I. Packer says this, a quote, he says, "Your God is what you love, it's what you seek, it's what you worship, it's what you serve and allow to control you." That's a great comment there. What is it that drives us and controls and something that we seek after? What do we value supremely? The Israelites in the story, we see that they had spent hundreds of years in captivity. And they were underneath the Egyptian rule. And we see that the Egyptians worshipped many different gods. Their culture lent itself to worshiping the sun and the water and the earth and the harvest. And anything that had natural power became a god that they worshipped. And they would bow down and they would give sacrifices and they would worship to these things. And the Israelites, for years, hundreds of years, has spent time and been influenced by this culture. And so God, as he says this, as he's commanding them, he's bringing them back to a place to say, yeah, you've been influenced by all these different gods and they've influenced you, but you are not to worship them. That your worship is reserved for God alone. I would ask you this, examine yourself. What is it in my life that I value supremely? What is it that I value, that I worship? What is it that maybe God wants to break? That God wants to say, you know what? You're worshiping this above me. That's the command that he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And that's how it applies to us today, is to go, okay, I'm not necessarily caught up with worshiping the sun and the moon and all those things, but there are things in my life that maybe I have put into place that I worship. The Bible talks about that we worship money, that we worship pleasure, that we worship our appetite. So I'd ask you is, what is it that in your life God is speaking to? What is it that we have put above? If we get honest, many times it's our career, it's our satisfaction, it's our reputation with people, it's our job, it's our money, it's our 401k, it's our relationships. We put these things in a place where we seek after it. It draws, it controls us. We love it. And it becomes a god in our life. Galatians 4, Paul talks about this to the church in Galatia, which is a great reminder. He says this in verse 8. He says, "Before you Gentiles knew God, we were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world?" So God is saying in this first command here, as we recognize what is he saying and how does it apply to my life, he says that God created us to worship him and him alone. That we need to recognize that we were created for God and by God to worship him and to give him our all. That we are created for that. And our worship is reserved for him and him alone, not for these other things that we place. So that's the first part, to have no other gods. The second part of this is before me, okay? Write this down. Before me is the second part. My biggest pet peeve, and my wife would probably second this because we have many conversations about this. But my biggest pet peeve is when I'm talking to somebody and they're sitting there with their phone texting on Facebook, and I ask them a question, they're like, yeah, uh-huh, sure, uh-huh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It drives me nuts to think and go, hello, I'm talking to you. Eyes up here, let's focus. But their attention is so split. Even though I'm in the midst of their presence, I'm still getting a secondary response because they're focused on this. Now, I'm not here to put any guilt on anyone, but if we recognize it and look at it, God is saying the same thing to us. As he says, to have no other gods, that he is alone the only God, but how we worship him in his presence is important. So before him, the text is talking about that in the midst of his presence, how do you worship him? In the midst of his presence, how do you worship him? I think this is interesting because the problem today is not us trying to worship God. I don't think that's the problem. I don't think that's the struggle that you and I have of trying to worship God. It's simply us worshiping God and other gods. Let me say that again. I don't think the problem today is for us trying to worship God. The problem is us trying to worship God and other gods. That we're trying to get the best of both worlds. We want to worship our desires, our pleasures, our needs, but we also want to receive God's blessings and the benefits of following him. We have these two things, these two platforms that we elevate and we have a difficult time. And God is saying that he alone is to be worshiped and only him is where our attention and drive goes. But then we're stuck here with our pleasure, our desires, our wants, our needs, all these things that we have that we put a lot of time and attention into, and we're trying to figure out how do we serve both? And he says, you can't. You can't. You see, I see this so many times is that we look at church and we check in and we check off our little church time this week, and I did my worship to God this week, and I can check that box, and now I can spend the rest of my 6 days worshiping my gods. And we might, you know, push back on that thought a little bit, but think about it. I think we all do it. We put our time in on Sunday. We worship God. We give him our time, our energy, our talents. And then Monday morning comes, and now it's all about my gods. My own personal lowercase g gods. My own desires and pleasures that I'm going to worship throughout the week. You see, we can't worship God and our gods. I want you to understand this. I want you to write this down. Is that you and I, we cannot worship our gods and the God. It can't be done. Luke 9 says this. Jesus is addressing this issue. He's trying to get his disciples and people who are following him that you can't continue to do the same old things that you used to and enjoy and commit and follow to God. He goes, you can't do both. He says this. He got up and spoke to the crowd. He says, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What do you benefit, he says, if you gain the whole world, but you yourself lost or destroyed? You see, we can't do both. We can't follow God and worship our own gods. So we see in this passage his command, you shall have no other gods before me, that we're created for him and him alone, but our time and our presence and our ability and our priority in his midst is for him alone. We have to remove the other things that compete with our worship to God. So how do you and I obey this command? And I want to give you quick two little things. We recognize that his command is that he's God, that he created us to worship him, that he alone is the only affection of our worship. And we see this, and we see that you and I, we create all these little gods in our life that we value and we worship and we put above God sometimes. And he says, no, you gotta get rid of those things. You gotta remove them and follow me only. So how do we do this? First one is this, is you gotta identify my gods, okay? Identify my gods, lowercase g. I gotta identify the idols in my life. I gotta identify the things that I value supremely above God. And the best way to find this, because you go, I don't know how to find these. How do I know what I'm worshiping? Well, here's a great way to find it, okay? You need to look at your fears. Okay, here, let me explain this. Many times our fears birth idols. Our fears of life and fears of what's gonna happen and things in our life that we can't control, we create and birth these idols that we begin to worship. See, whatever we are most afraid of happening will likely become our gods that we worship. Things like significance. Man, I'm worried that no one's gonna love me. I'm worried that no one's gonna know me. I'm worried that people aren't gonna like me. And so in turn, to fix that, we create these idols to find significance, to find things that will fill that need, that'll make us feel better, that won't make us feel alone. And we begin to value and place those above everything else. Our pride. And we know that our fear is that we are insecure. We're broken people. And so to fix that, we try to do it on our own by creating a prideful self, an arrogant, prideful attitude that begins to take control of our lives. Security and relationships are many times idols that we are worried about. And so we create these opposite effects. We're worried about money. We're worried that we can't pay our bills. And so what we do is we place our job as the most supreme value in our life. And we work to death and we work overtime and we sacrifice our family and our relationship with God to work harder to make more money. Many times our fear of even in the government and fear of leaders that we think, man, if we could just get this person in leadership, if we could just get that, man, everything will be taken care of. We think to ourselves, man, if I could just get this, if I could just pay for that, if I could just receive this, man, that'll take care of all these things in my life. And you begin to see that those things begin to birth idols that we begin to worship above God. So I want to challenge you with this. Identify the gods in your life, but be careful not to allow good things in your life to become God things. I think that's important for you to jot down and tweet it, quote it, whatever. Don't allow good things to become God things in your life. Remove the idols. And the second thing is this: begin to put God first in everything. Man, this is key. Identify the idols, remove them, and begin to put God first in everything. Not just on Sunday, okay? The temptation is for us to serve more, go to church more, and those things are good things. But begin to put God first in your finances, in your relationships, at your job, in your own personal trust, in your own insecurities. Begin to put him in everything in your life, and you'll recognize a complete change in your life. Because when we begin to put God first, he begins to work, and he begins to fulfill everything he created us to turn to. You see, we see that this, so that every person has three needs. Every one of us has three needs in our life. We have the need to find love, have the need to find significance, and we have the need to find security or stableness in our life. Every one of us is looking for these things, and we look for them so many times in things that are not godly, that are in people. Man, there are so many marriages that get married because they feel like, if I can just find the right person, my soulmate, they'll satisfy the love and the significance in my life. And I would say this, that no one can do that. No person on earth can fulfill every one of your needs because we are broken, flawed people. The only person who can fulfill all of these needs is God. And that's the purpose of the law. You'll see, he gives us the law to drive us to a place to recognize that we have issues, that we need things in our life. But he is the only one that can fulfill those. God's command is not to control us, but to give us life and freedom in him. But the greatest part is that he calls us into a personal relationship with him. He gave us these things to lead us to him so that we could enter in a personal and intimate relationship with God, who knows us, who loves us unflawed and unconditional. He has a plan and a purpose for us that's better than anything that we could imagine. And he wants to help us at every step of our life. And when you think of it, it's like, why wouldn't I turn to God? Why wouldn't I put my trust? Why wouldn't I worship him with everything, and in the midst of his presence, I'm all his. Why wouldn't we do that? And that's where the law drives us. When we get that perspective, and he becomes our fulfillment in our significance, our satisfaction, our identity, even our passion, becomes wrapped up with God. I want to close with this, a story from Jesus. Jesus knew that you and I would struggle with this, that we'd find other things that replace our God in heaven, that we would turn to our pleasures and our desires and other people to fulfill the needs that only God can fill. He knew this would happen, and we see that Jesus quotes the scripture as he's preaching and teaching on earth. He quotes the scripture from the book of Deuteronomy about how to live this out. And he says this in Mark chapter 12. I love this. It says, one of the teachers of the law, one of the Pharisees, was standing there listening to the debate. And he asked them this question, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus replied with this. This is important for us to understand today. He said, the most important commandment is this. The Lord your God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. We'll see over the next 10 weeks that all the commands that God gives in Exodus can be boiled down to love God, to love our neighbors. You'll see how this all is boiled down to these two actions. Jesus says, to love God with all of your heart, not with 50% of your heart, not with 25% of your heart, but to love him with all your heart. The heart actually refers to your affections. He says, love the Lord God with all of your affections. He says, love the Lord God with all of your soul. Soul represents your devotion, your commitment. And then he says, and love the Lord God with all of your mind. You see, the mind represents your perspective and your view. I believe this is when you get a perspective of God, of who he really is, it changes how you view things, how you approach things, how you respond and think through things, because your perspective is God-centered. And last, he says this, to love the Lord God with all of your strength. Strength represents your abilities and talents. With your affection, your devotion, your perspective, and your abilities, love the Lord God with all those. Make him number one in your life. Can I pray for you? God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and mercy for us. And I pray for each person watching right now, wherever they're at, God, that maybe you've touched their heart today. And you've spoken to them. And you've even identified things that maybe we've let creep into our lives that are taking away our affection and our heart and our perspective. And we've maybe put too much attention and too much hope into these things that you're calling us today to put everything into you, to remind us that you alone are our God, that we can't worship our gods and you. So God, I pray for each person that they would surrender, let go of those things. We'd put you first, God, and to begin a relationship with you because you love and care for each and every person watching right now. We thank you, God, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week for week 3 of our 10 Commandments series. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks.